mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome on in. Fighter's Fury here on The Ticket. It's Tobin here with you as we'll take the next hour to dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Last night you had a packed fight night. UFC 237. You had Bellator 221. You had some premier boxing championships up on Fox. So had a lot of screens going yesterday. Had a lot of things going on as far as the action was concerned. Not too bad as far as the conflicts were going on. The only real cross we had was Michael Chandler versus Patricio Pitbull. But that went at the same time as Volkanovski versus Jose Aldo. Both of those fights, I would say, not exactly living up to expectations. So we'll get into that. But we'll start off with the main event from last night, UFC 237. Because I was saying going into this, you know, I'm always talking to myself like a big weirdo as I'm watching these fight nights. Most fight nights I'm watching alone. And I was thinking to myself, well, where is this card at from right now? Because we had just saw Jared Cannonier, and the way he beat Anderson Silva was chewing up his leg and doing those nasty kicks. We had seen Volkanovski get himself victorious over Jose Aldo. Not the most thrilling fight in the world, for sure. We had seen Thiago Alves fall. It was a rough night for the Brazilians. Betchcoeja, she lost by a sit down or face down armbar. So it was a restless crowd. Then we got into the main event. We had Jessica Andrade. She was challenging Rose Namajunas for the strawweight championship of the world. We haven't seen Rose in a while since she had defended her title against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And, you know, we remember in the meantime that Rose was in that incident with the bus. That she was so shook up from the Conor McGregor thing. So it had been a while since we had seen Thug Rose, who had such a one of the most thrilling title wins you'll ever see when she knocked out JJ. And this fight today was an interesting one. We know we're thinking about, you know, Joanna is going to come at you, and she's going to come at you with versatile strikes, volume strikes, and I think we had all taken for granted and not known how good Rose Namajunas had gotten on the feet with her striking. But Jessica is a powerhouse. Jessica is a 5'1.5 dynamo, where she has one-punch knockout power for a 115-pound woman. She could also pick you up like a tank. She is just built like a Mack truck, just in a little package. But this fight starts off, and Rose Namajunas looks better than ever. She looks incredible. Everybody, if you're just watching this kind of flow by on social media, which I always like to scroll by as the rounds go on, and everybody's just raving about Rose. I'm impressed by what the hell Rose is throwing out there. She's versatile. She's quicker. She's like a sniper. She cuts open Jessica Andrade's eye. She looks like she can't be stopped. And then there's one moment in this fight where Jessica tries to pick her up, and Rose is going for the arm bar, and she almost gets it. So she's just winning on every single level. You can sense a little bit of slowdown as the fight is going down in the winding seconds of the first round, where those leg kicks that Jessica is putting into Rose Namajunas right on that front leg, she's starting to get a little red there. But her striking, she just looks so much quicker, doesn't look in real danger to get knocked out, that there's no reason to think this isn't going to keep up for five rounds. So we get to round two. A lot of the same. Rose is coming out, and she is getting the better when it comes to the hands. She is still eating a few more of those kicks, but then she gets into almost the exact same position that she was in the round previous, when she was hoisted up by Jessica Andrade. Andrade goes for the arm bar. Rose goes for the armbar on Jessica, probably at a Kimura at that point. So she is letting go. She's going for a submission. And because of this, Andrade throws Rose right on her head. Neck style, Rose is out. Out. And we're all, you know, I think everybody who's watching this fight is probably just looking around the room like, oh my God, is this? Not only is Rose out and she just lose the title, is she okay? She did get up, thankfully, and had a clear head, but it was a scary land for sure. People were freaking out about it over on social media with the idea that she landed straight on her neck. But, you know, some people were wondering whether or not this was controversial. Was this a move that you are allowed to do? You're absolutely allowed to, because Rose had the way it's dubbed is, you know, it's not like Rose was just picked up and thrown down with her body all crazy. You know, she is in that bad position and wasn't able to roll under because she was going for a submission at the same time. It nearly worked the round before. It was just this time Jessica was the one who was able to pull through and get the win. So Jessica is your new champion. Fantastic job by her. She now matches Amanda Nunes for most wins in the women's division all time. And that's really, really impressive for her and great for her that not only was she able to get that win yesterday, but that she was able to get it in front of Rio. You know, the place was going crazy, and you can say, man, that's pretty wild that she is that the champ had to go to Brazil. But Rose said, like, I wanted to go to Brazil. I wanted to experience that. And so a crowd in Brazil that wasn't really able to enjoy the night, where they're seeing a lot of their legends lose, Jose Aldo, Thiago Alves, Anderson Silva, all of them lose one by one by one. Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira lost. It was a tough night for all the Brazilians, man. They weren't able to get through this as far as a great night was concerned. So I was very impressed by that fight. It was a super entertaining championship fight. I thought the card really needed it because I would say up until then, pretty unfulfilling. You know, like, you give props to Jared Cannonier and Alexander Volkanovski, good wins by them. You don't want to take credit away. I just don't know if they're the most memorable fights in the world. You know, Anderson Silva being 40-plus years old and losing via leg kick and having another ligament tear, it's pretty wild. But it was. It's not one I think that's going to go down as an all-time classic for Jared Cannonier. It's a good win to have on his resume. But we talked about this last week. You know, Anderson Silva, love him. Love Anderson Silva, one of the greatest of all time. I think for a while was regarded as the GOAT, bar none. But this guy has not won a fight without controversy since 2012. I mean, his Nick Diaz win was overturned because he tested positive for PEDs. Nick Diaz tested positive for marijuana, so a forgettable fight was then also wiped away. Then the Derek Brunson fight from a couple of years ago. You know, everybody thinks Derek Brunson won that fight. Nobody really thinks Anderson Silva won that fight. And so, man, you're talking about a long time. And so you put the leg injury in the midst of that, the steroid test in the midst of that. It's been a long time for the legend that is Anderson Silva. Everybody loves facing him. Everybody, it's almost, but you know, it's almost like becoming a carnival ride for UFC fighters at this point. DC talked about this in the lead up to this bout, where he's just like, yeah, you kind of just take a look and you're just like, wow, I'm facing Anderson Silva. And it's almost kind of like you're in fight fantasy camp, you know? He's not looking, you know, he's going into these things and he's not taking brutal knockout losses. Like, it's not been the Chris Weidman thing, fight after fight after fight. If that was the case, I think we'd all look at this and say, well, you know, he's got to hang it up, but he's really only suffered that one brutal knockout. So he's not getting destroyed in these fights, but it's just not the same guy. You're not going out there and you're not seeing Barry Bonds in his prime. You're not going out there and seeing a guy hitting balls into the bay. It's just not what he's got. And we're also in a different era. We're in a different time. I don't know how many people get shook by the aura that is Anderson Silva anymore. Like, Jared Cannonier is a fine fighter. He's been doing it for a long, long time. But this isn't a guy who people have put into title contention. And so if he's just destroying Anderson Silva, like, who is left? I was thinking this with BJ Penn last night because, you know, BJ Penn was on the card and there was a lot of controversy surrounding this because BJ's got a domestic violence thing that's hanging over his head. And people are wondering if it's regarded from a CTE thing or, you know, maybe BJ Penn has got some really bad demons in his past, but, you know, people weren't really able to ask about it at media, the UFC PR staff, like, frowned upon. They don't want people talking about it. Okay. Been in these UFC situations before. Understand how that can go. It's not the greatest look in the world for the UFC because, you know, if it's a story that's that important, then people should be able to ask about it. But if you just want to talk about BJ Penn, the fighter, he's almost in a worse situation than Anderson is as far as the hell we go from here with this guy. Because with BJ Penn, you go out there and you watch him, and yeah, he looked good for the few first minutes of the first round. Looked good. Striking looked good. He was taking his time. Didn't seem as rushed. But then he just starts wearing down. He's not in the shape to do it anymore. And I'm not one of these guys that likes to call for people to retire because, look, if you get a paycheck for fighting and you're not getting blown out the doors, okay. He's another one where it's like, you know, he's taken a couple rough losses a few years ago when he lost to Frankie Edgar, and of course that Yair Rodriguez one was super brutal, but you know, the last few fights haven't been the worst beatings he's ever taken, so okay, BJ Penn can still get a nice check, good for him. But we're talking now a guy who hasn't won a fight since 2010. And so when you're going out there and you're giving him Clay Guida, who's probably the oldest guy also on the roster in his weight class that you could put out there and say, all right, at least he's not taking on one of these young killers. He's taking on Clay Guida, another veteran. And Clay's got the gas tank to just push you over the edge. Basically what he's just winning it with is will, cardio, gas tank, and pushing the pace. The fight before that, you had him up against Ryan Hall, who you're putting him in there because, oh, BJ can't get knocked out in this fight. It's Ryan Hall. BJ Penn's the prodigy. Hey, this should be fine. What's he got to do? Just avoid a heel hook? Gets heel hooked. Like, they're really setting up BJ as best they can to get these wins, and he can't get them. Not even close. So, look, if they let go of BJ Penn, I'm sure he would be swooped up by Bellator in about 30 seconds or one of these things. But at this point, who cares? You kind of play this game with Vitor for a little bit where it's like, yeah, you could have Vitor who's not on his TRT and not on the supplements that he needs to be an effective fighter. And somebody else is going to swoop him up, but you're the UFC. Who cares? BJ Penn's not a UFC fighter anymore. I don't even know if he's a Bellator quality fighter anymore. So what's the harm in letting him go? I get it. He's a legend. But he's not of this class anymore. We're almost pushing a decade since the guy has gotten his arm raised. A decade. And what's to say? How long is it going to take before you have to put in there with another Yair Rodriguez, a young sniper, a young killer? He's nowhere close to a title shot. And he doesn't seem very close to getting wins in any of these fights. Is he getting destroyed? Not getting destroyed, like, from the standpoint of he's not left flatlined on the canvas, but he's not close to getting these wins at all. And you are trying to spoon feed him a win. So at what point do you just say, yeah, you know what? It's time to move on. When you're having to shut down media questions about the guy at during fight week, and he doesn't win fights, and he's not entertaining, and everybody just feels a little bit sad watching him. Just think at that point, what is the purpose of having him out there on the roster? So there was that. The big come out of this is you had Jessica Andrade with the win. Rose Namajunas afterwards, she said that she was thinking about, well, a couple things happened. She won the fight, and she talked about not wanting to do this anymore, that a huge pressure had been lifted off her. This made DC crazy. DC was crazy about this on the broadcast. He was like, what? What do you mean you're done? What does that mean, pressure? I cried when I lost my belt. Dominic Cruz, he's like, we play this fight all the time on the morning show, but Dom was like, hey, take it easy, man. Take it easy, man. Like, DC was just so confused by Rose saying, pressure's off now, I'm glad. And Rose was basically, she elaborated a little bit further afterwards, just saying that, thinks she wants to do something else for life, Not sure that she wants to do this anymore. Always been a bit of a different bird. Like, she marches to her own beat. And she had that incredible moment. Don't know if it gets any better for her from here. You take a loss like that, and, you know, I think she does take her time. Good for her, man. I will say this. It has nothing to do with talent. Because up until that point where she got slammed on her head and she was risking it again to go and try and get that submission, I think we could all agree, about the best we've ever seen Rose Namajunas look in an octagon. So, if she does continue to fight, she definitely looks like she belongs at the top of the division. Does she get an immediate rematch? You know, it's kind of a weird division right now as far as where they would go, because Jessica has lost to Joanna before, so that would make sense. And Joanna is obviously a big name. It's still probably the biggest name in that division. So, yeah, that makes sense to still do it. Tatiana Suarez and Nina Ansaroff is out there, and they're going to be fighting soon, and that'll probably be a big title eliminator. So, her versus Tatiana Suarez would be a really fun fight. But Nina is also, like, man, she's coming into her own. She obviously trains down here. And what I think is, you know, not, I mean, obviously American Top Team is the best gym in the world, but the amount of women that train there that are just elite is insane. I don't know what gym can match that. And that can be said about the men's side, but I think especially for the women's side, knowing that they have the greatest of all time there, they have Kayla Harrison, you know, Nina there, all these just unbelievable, Joanna trains there, all these just unbelievable studs that just train in that gym is crazy. It's crazy. So props to Jessica Andrade getting the championship win. Rose Namajunas was a hell of a champion. Gave us one of the best championship moments in a long time when she knocked out Joanna the first time and then winning that rematch. But interesting night. Interesting night from Rio de Janeiro. When we come back, we head to Bellator 221 and a little bit of an upset yesterday in the boxing world. We'll get to that when we come back on Fighters Fury after this.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Welcome back, guys. Fighters Fury rolls on. Want to take this part of the show to honor the great Harold Letterman, who we learned passed away of cancer, 79 years old, the legendary commentator for HBO, former judge, but was always the unofficial scorer for HBO broadcasts for many, 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 many years. We lost Harold Letterman over the weekend, it was announced, and it's a real shame. The guy brought forth so much entertainment, such great information. Think about that. He always had that just little window and always felt like just a guy. He had this great thing about him where when you went to Harold, he just was so matter of fact with it. And it was great. It was always just like, yeah, okay, Jim. Four rounds to two. I got it for Leo Santa Cruz or whoever the hell it would be. I don't know why Leo Santa Cruz is the first guy I came up with, but it's just like he had this just unbelievable way of communicating in those little windows, which is not an easy thing to do in those boxing broadcasts. People cared about his scorecards. They mattered to people. People, a lot of the times, were in line. Sometimes he was on things that were a little bit wackadoo. That was okay. It was okay to disagree with Harold Letterman, too, but you know, just a guy that nobody had a bad thing to say about in the sport. Quick Harold Letterman story from my only interaction, really, with the dude. So, this was 2015. It was September 2015. It was at the Heavyweight Factory over in Fort Lauderdale where Shannon was getting ready for his fight. I guess it was against Michael Marrone at that time. And you know, Shannon, I was hanging around the gym a bunch that time, and Shannon was doing his whole Let's Go Champ moment, and he's trying to build up to get to the Klitschko fight again. And, you know, this dude is the king of Instagram. Shannon Briggs is, nobody does social media like Shannon Briggs does. And so he goes, hey, Tobin, he's like, do me a favor, man. I want you to, he got this bit idea where I'm going to be like the superhero that comes in through the back of the gym, and I'm here to save boxing. So he's like, he goes, I want you to say these lines. I want to say, where's the champ? Where's the champ? We need the champ to save the day. And then boom, my music's gonna hit, and I'm like, all right, cool, champ, let's do it. So I literally stand. I'm getting ready to tape this thing for Shannon, right in front of my guy Craig, who basically does a lot of the filming for Shannon's Instagram. And who walks into the gym? But okay, Jim. Harold Letterman walks in the gym, the legend. And Shannon goes crazy because Harold Letterman's there to visit him on fight week. He's so excited about it. He goes, change of plans. Harold's going to do the intro. And so it ends up being Harold Letterman in that distinct legendary voice. Where's the champ? Where's the champ? We need the champ to save the day. Okay, Jim. He didn't say the okay, Jim part. But boom, did the old video. And I posted it on my Instagram yesterday. You guys can see it at Brendan_Tobin, or it's at my Twitter at Brendan_Tobin there if you guys want to check it out. But that was my, that's my Harold Letterman story. Personally, I got bumped from Shannon Briggs' promo video to where I was going to introduce him as the superhero to save boxing. Instead, I got bumped for Harold Letterman, which is understandable. Why would you have me intro you instead of one of the most legendary voices in boxing? And, you know, rest in peace to Harold Letterman. He's just unbelievable icon in the sport, super recognizable voice, and, you know, he's going to be missed. He's been missed with the HBO broadcast going away, but he will be missed by the boxing community for sure. Speaking of which, a couple of boxing notes before we get into Bellator from last night. You had Julian Williams yesterday defeating Jared Herd to win the junior middleweight title. He won on all judges' scorecards, unanimous decision, 116-111 and 115-112 on two of the scorecards. It was, man, he went off, and he was a 5-1 underdog going into this fight. And he brought it to Jared Herd early, put him on the canvas, got a 10-8 round, I think, in the second round. And Jared looked like he was starting to turn things in the middle rounds, but these guys are fighting toe-to-toe, not a lot of movement around the ring. They were fighting right in a phone booth the entire time. And that Jared, I mean, man, Julian Williams was hitting him with these nasty uppercuts, nasty short hooks all throughout the fight. Ends up getting the win, man. And so he really has shaken up 154 for right now. It was a really, really, really fun fight to watch. Good for Julian Williams getting himself that win on PBC Fox. Also, an announcement yesterday that we got Keith Thurman taking on Manny Pacquiao coming up July 20th from Las Vegas. Very exciting. I'm excited for this fight. I got to tell you, I think Manny Pacquiao is going to win this fight. And I wouldn't have said this taking on Keith Thurman a couple of years ago. I would have said, too much for Manny to bite off. Keith is too devastating a puncher. But if you've watched Keith lately, one of the things that gives you pause on that is the fact that the guy is just, since he's had that arm surgery, and really I would say, you know, since he's been to the top, and credit to Keith because he's been taking on a lot of top guys, but I just don't feel like you have that same offensive output that you've had of late, you know, and this is a guy where he's had a lot of close fights against Sean Porter, close fight against Josecito Lopez, but he's still 29-0, he's still undefeated, he's an absolute badass, so... And he's still in the prime of his career, taking on a guy, Manny Pacquiao, who's over 40 now. But I just think that if you're talking about two guys who are known for their offense, rare are the fights Manny Pacquiao goes into a fight where he is going into a fight and having to worry about, oh, just throw more than the guy? That's how I win this thing? And he doesn't win. It's rare. It's rare to think about that. A fight where Manny Pacquiao just has to worry about, he doesn't have to worry about getting knocked out, doesn't have to worry about struggling with the dude's defense, just who can be the more effective puncher on a given night. It's a good matchup for him. It's a tough matchup for Keith. If Keith does get it, it's definitely the biggest name on his resume. I would say that as far as the top of the division, you know, he's been champ. So he's been in there with the tops of the tops in that division, but this is definitely the biggest name on his resume for sure. So looking forward to that fight, man. July 20th, it's going to be going down in reportedly Las Vegas. I've seen, I saw a couple things where it was going down, but I thought I saw this morning that it was going to be in Vegas. Let me see if I can confirm that real quick. Let's see. Thurman, Vegas. the old Google machine. But it was, I've seen a couple of things. I did see that it was going to be taking place in, yeah. It says, this is according to the LA Times. LA Times says that it is expected to be staged in Las Vegas. I did see his PR guy say we're going to Hollywood. So, might be in California. Don't hold my feet to the fire too much for it. Chance we go out there. We went out there for the last Fox pay-per-view once, so there might be a chance that we're going out for this one in July. That'd be a lot of fun. I'd love to go do a Manny Pacquiao fight. Also, speaking of boxing, this past week we had Rumble at the Rock, and fun night of fights. You got to see a lot of entertaining bouts for sure. Ivan Dichko got himself a win, TKO in the third round. His opponent's arm got pretty gnarled up. Derek Cuevas got himself a unanimous decision win against Amel Mensa. Good fight, leaned on him a lot. It was a good run as far as him learning. Best fight of the night was Erzvani Duverjal. He got himself a win over Jared Fenderson. And man, these guys were throwing down. Knockdowns galore going back and forth. And Erzvani got himself to 7-0. He ended up getting the win. But there were some Rocky II moments where they were both knocking each other down. Heavyweight Factory announced afterwards they're doing an immediate rematch. I don't quite see the point of that. Like, I didn't feel like this is one of those things where you're not going to build up a 24-7. It was a really fun fight, but we're talking about the third fight up from the card at Rumble at the Rock fight. I don't really see the point. Like, if you're Erzvani's people, why not just say we want some, if anything, because, and this isn't taking a shot at anybody, it's just the record is what it is, but Fenderson's 5-10. He's now 5-11 after that loss. So what's the point of the guy fighting a guy who's 5-11 again when you're 7-0, I imagine, trying to move your career forward? You just took on a super dangerous opponent who did put you on the canvas. Do you want to do that fight again? Because I will say, like, it was a fun fight, but I thought Erzvani did show to be the more talented guy. I didn't quite get the point of having him go out there. Logan the Korean Kid Yoon, he got himself a win over Robert Frankel. Go for him. Blake Davis, who was the feature after the main event, he got himself a win. Levon Navarro got himself a win. That was the night over at the Hard Rock. We got our guy Harold Calderon, who's going to be fighting at the Miccosukee on May 24th. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. You guys can check that on out. And then also coming up next week, I should mention this, we have March for Cancer, which is coming up next week. And if you guys haven't registered, please do so, marchforcancer.org. I do this event every year, guys. SEMA Tommy Guns, we had him on last week. If you guys want the in-depth story of it, download last week's podcast. Go to radio.com or go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, Google Play. And you can listen to SEMA's explanation of it. But basically it goes down like this. Look, 600,000 people are affected by cancer every single year. And a lot of them need help just battling the disease today. There's great research that's getting put out there. No one's disputing that. That's super important to see if cancer can get beat. But the March for Cancer, what it's trying to do is it's trying to help those in need right now. And whether or not they are struggling to work, struggling to feed their kids, struggling to keep their lights on, this fund is able to provide people with stuff on present day just to get through their treatments so they can fight the disease, so that they can go about living their life. And so that's what the March for Cancer is raising money for. It's an unbelievable event. If you guys like 5Ks, it's the only 5K I do every year because I'm not a huge fan of running, but it's right there on Fort Lauderdale Beach. It is always, always a beautiful scene. And even the years where the weather hasn't been great, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that where it was some gnarly weather, but didn't matter. Everybody was out there doing an awesome thing for either themselves, as far as honoring a family member, doing it with a bunch of survivors that go out there, do this together. Just, it's really incredible to see. I'm telling you, if you're looking for something good to do, and I'm sure that every one of us knows somebody that's been affected by cancer, venture to say it's nearly impossible that none of us know it's pretty impossible to know somebody is not going through this, like whether it be a coworker, a cousin, an uncle, a wife, a mother, you know, every walk of life, I'm sure you know somebody who's been touched by this disease and needs help and knows the struggles of it. So that's what the March for Cancer is so great with. It is right there, present day, to help those in need. Every dollar that you put towards this with your registration goes right into that fund to help immediately. There's no over the top because it's completely volunteer based. Really great, really, really great cause done every year. And I'm blown away that it gets bigger and bigger year after year. I'm blown away by the community around it. I'm blown away by the happiness and the joy that people feel on that day, because it is such a heavy topic. It is such a heavy thing that people are dealing with, but not on that day. Not on that day. That day, it's about coming together. It's about community. It's about family, and that's a great thing to see. So marchforcancer.org is how you register, and you guys can do that there. If you just want to donate, you can't make next week, you could do that as well. You can just submit a donation. But if you are out there and you see me wheezing out there on Fort Lauderdale Beach, throw me a water. And, you know, hit me with a let's go champ and let's just move on as the thing rolls on. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of Bellator last night and two major, major comebacks announced for the UFC. Big fights coming this summer. We'll get to that when we return on Fighters Fury right after this.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, guys, we're back. Final segment here on Fighters Fury on this Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife, Diana, and the great job she does raising our two lovely, lovely kids, Tommy and Sophia. Happy Mother's Day to my mother, who is the only person I know who still tunes into basically everything that I do. As far as the radio is concerned, she's always been my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. Happy early birthday to my mother as well, who turns, well, I won't say what she turns, but her birthday is this week. Her birthday is this week. You know, happy Mother's Day to my godmother, my aunt Cade. Happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law, Leda. And happy Mother's Day to my sister-in-law, Amanda. I think this is her first Mother's Day? It might be her second official Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to Amber. It's her first Mother's Day officially as a mom. So shout out to Amber as well. And basically anybody out there, the stepmoms, the foster moms, everybody out there, the great jobs that you do, anybody who has to do a mom role and take a mom leadership, the grandmas, all of you, you just do an amazing job. We're completely in debt to you. It's the most important thing in the world. Really is, because I know as a man, as a dad, there's just a different type of level of patience I can't reach that you guys can reach. There's a different tenderness that the women can reach that I try and be in that, but They seem to manipulate me, these little monsters, in a different way that I can't quite get to. So happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. Thank you for everything you do. Last night we had Bellator 221, a very fun card as far as what was lined up. You got a lot of big names that we were looking forward to seeing. You had Jake Hager, a.k.a. Jack Swagger, who was making his second professional mixed martial arts fight. We talked to Scott Coker this week, and you guys can see that. It's on the Fighters Fury podcast feed if you guys want to check it out. The Jake Hager thing was such a mismatch. Like, he was taking on a dude who was literally a meat plant guy, a meat plant worker. So not his full-time job fighting. Got in good shape from what I understand. He was over 300 pounds when he accepted the fight and got under the heavyweight limit. So shout out to him, but didn't look like the most intimidating force in the world. He was, I think, 1-1 professionally at the time. Does a mean dance to the ring. I will say that to TJ Jones, I think was the dude's name. And, you know, the only thing that's really of note of this is Jake Hager put on that arm triangle again. So he got another win that way, with the arm triangle choke, but wouldn't let go. That was a little bit weird. And, you know, he was sitting there just having the arm thing locked in. I don't know if that's inexperience. That's him being a little bit psychotic. The one thing I don't get with the Jake Hager thing, and we talked to him this week on the morning show. I had him on with Zaslow. You know, he still seems like he would like to return to wrestling. So I don't know how much he really puts forth into this mixed martial arts thing as far as the future is concerned, but I don't understand where the gimmick is and where the real guy begins. Like, I'm confused by all of it. Like, is he Jake Hager or is he Jack Swagger? He doesn't even seem to really know. Is he still doing his gimmick from wrestling in here? I find that weird. You know, CM Punk, when he came to do this, he still played his theme song, which you obviously got to do to get the pop. He still went by CM Punk, but that was his property. I get it. You don't go by Phil Brooks. That's cool. But he's not out there going like, he's not trying to put the GTS out on somebody. Like, he's not out there trying to do his moves. This dude's like out there and he's doing his whole like We the People gimmick. I just find it strange. I don't know. He also said, I can't repeat what he said in the post game, but let's just say that he basically said in the post fight interview to John McCarthy that he was aroused, that he's aroused with excitement. I'm just like, all right, well, that's a tactic to take, I guess. So strange from him. Strange. Weird. You had AJ McKee. He beat Pat Curran by unanimous decision. Not the most memorable fight in the world, for sure, for AJ McKee. But a good win for him. You know, he famously said after his last fight that he wants to be the Floyd Mayweather of mixed martial arts. If by not letting your opponent hit you and, you know, kind of lulling yourself through a performance, I would say that was accurate. But I like AJ McKee. He's super talented. He obviously got the pedigree for this. It was a tough night, I would say, for Bellator as far as their most marketable people, if I could say that. Like, I don't think Jake Hager made a lot of fans with this fight. I don't think AJ McKee made a ton of fans with this fight. Douglas Lima, I think, made a lot of fans last night with his knockout win over Michael Venom Page. Michael Venom Page went for a kick, missed, was on the ground, and in a scramble, Douglas Lima hit him with an uppercut, ended him. Flatline. You'll see a ton of it, I'm sure, around social media. If you guys haven't seen it, it's out my Twitter account, @Brennan_Tobin, if you guys want to see it. But Douglas Lima absolutely demolished him. But let's be real about it. Like, Bellator wants Michael Venom Page to be one of their stars, and he got cleaned up. So his last fight against Paul Daly, which was highly anticipated, one of the most boring fights in Bellator history. Hell, MMA history. Terrible fight. And the next fight out, he gets knocked out against Douglas Lima, who is a Bellator staple. You could argue he's one of the greatest Bellator fighters of all time. So good for him to get that win. Good for him to move on and maybe get the rematch with Rory, depending on what happens with Neiman Gracie in a couple weeks. But, you know, I'm sure if Bellator... if you hit them with the truth stick, they want MVP to be in the finals with Rory McDonald at the end of this thing. And they're not. Douglas Lima, a familiar face, the guy who's been there forever, he's going to be there. And then they had the end fight, which was Patricio Pitbull versus Michael Chandler. And both of those sides have been there with Bellator forever. But Michael Chandler, I think people really legitimately think is UFC level. Like, this guy is, I think, 31 now. How old is Michael Chandler? You know, like, the move has got to happen soon with Michael Chandler if he's going to end up making the move to UFC. He's 33 years old. He just turned 33. So there was talk that after he got his belt, like, maybe he should just make the jump. He seems good enough. He's talked about wanting to fight Khabib. But he just lost to a 145 guy. This is very similar to the TJ Dillashaw, Henry Cejudo thing, where, like, you know, the littler guy comes up and he beats you. What can be said about that? I mean, it's different because TJ went down in weight stupidly and ended up getting popped for a lot of PEDs. But the Michael Chandler thing, a couple things. He got hit behind the ear, so he got put behind the canvas. He turtled up, and he took shots. When the fight got stopped and he popped up like that, I was like, oh, no. Went way too fast as far as stopping that fight. I still feel that way. I still feel like Michael Chandler was fine and that the ref pulled the trigger too quick, especially for a championship fight. especially for a guy, Michael Chandler, who's been in some pretty crazy wars over his life. I didn't feel like the ref had the good temperature of the guy he was officiating. But Michael Chandler did get put on the canvas. This is also taken back to the Cejudo fight. I felt like the Cejudo-Dillashaw fight, that one was more warranted of being stopped than this one was. But you don't put yourself in that position. That's a tough position if you're Michael Chandler to put yourself in. You got knocked down by a 145-pound fighter or 145-pound champion and, you know, are kind of unanswered. And he wasn't in the greatest position. It's not like he was moving or anything like that. He kind of just was eating it. And, you know, same thing as an officiator should be aware of who he's officiating. The fighter should be aware of, all right, how much do we know if this referee is experienced or not, you know? I think that referee got a little bit quick-triggered in stopping that fight, but, you know, Patricio did put him on the canvas, so who's to say it wouldn't got worse, you know? Maybe Michael gets out of it eventually, but maybe he doesn't. So it's a tough one. I think you got to run that back. They had a lot of bad blood. The interviews were really cool for this one. I think that this will only add more now that Michael is 2-0 against Patricio, but now he's 0-1 against Patricio with some controversy. So Bellator does have a good fight in that. But I will say, Bellator, I can't imagine they come out of tonight thrilled with where they're at. And I've been saying this with the company for a while. Like, I just don't know what their signature is as a place right now. You know, for a while it was, we got the legend fights. You guys come into the circus tent and see our young people. But this is what I say. Like, their young squad of guys, McKee, MVP, who am I missing? Aaron Pico. All those guys got a lot of rebuilding to do. McKee the least. I mean, McKee doesn't really have rebuilding to do. McKee has, I just think for a guy who has his aspirations, he's got to do some things where, like, he's got to be thrilling fans to want to see this guy fight, you know? And Aaron Pico, he obviously has to do some polishing as far as he gets to, like, the red zone on every fight and then fumbles at the goal line. That's not every fight, but, like, he's had two major botches. And with MVP, yeah, this guy talks a lot of bleep. I think he's always going to be entertaining to watch, but that's the thing with him, you probably thought, oh, this guy could be the face. And not so much anymore. Not for right now, anyway. Let's get to some of the big UFC returns before we get out of here. Big announcements. You had on Friday the big news. Next UFC, June 8th, UFC 238. Donald Cowboy Cerrone is returning on 29 days' notice, 5 weeks after getting a win over Ally Aquinta. So he is going to be fighting against Tony Ferguson, which is unbelievable. That's, dude, like, there's no bigger OG in the game than Donald Cerrone. That just needs to be said. Not even close. It's with him, he's almost like 1, 2, and 3. There's not even somebody who deserves to be in the top three with him as far as OGs in the sport. Like, you're going in there less than a month notice to take on a guy who might be the best lightweight in the world. Khabib has the belt, but Tony Ferguson had the belt taken away with him because he tripped over some wires. This guy might be the best lightweight in the world. And Cowboy says, yeah, I'll fight him on a month's notice. Oh, the McGregor thing didn't come to fruition? I don't know what's going to happen with McGregor. But Tony Ferguson versus Cowboy Cerrone, the only crime, and I've had a few followers tell me this, is that it's not 5 rounds. But the only thing I can say is you're only preventing a crime that it's not 5 rounds, because I don't know if either one of these guys makes it out of a 5-round fight. I'm crazy excited for it. Unbelievable. That's a great, great fight to add to the Marlon Moraes, Henry Cejudo, bantamweight championship fight. And then we also got news yesterday. Nate Diaz is going to be making his return for UFC 240 in Anaheim against on the Stipe versus Daniel Cormier card. So Nate Diaz is going to be making his much, much anticipated return. UFC 241, excuse me. That's really exciting. Very, very exciting. So you got, last night, we got the news about Nate Diaz coming back. He's fighting Anthony Pettis Anthony Pettis. And that's going to be fun. It's going to be at welterweight. So Anthony looked really good at welterweight last time. And Nate Diaz can kind of be back into that, be in that mix again. It's fun to have the Diaz brothers back in action again. So really, really great that we're getting that news. That you got the return of Tony Ferguson. You got Donald Cerrone, who's fighting on 29 days notice. Nate Diaz back in the octagon. And Anthony Pettis, who looked fantastic at welterweight his last time out, gets to continue at welterweight. So really, 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 really fun couple of fights that are coming up for the UFC. And I'm excited about it, man. Very, very exciting. Interesting night of fights. Wouldn't say it was the greatest night of fights in the world, but congratulations again to Jessica Andrade for getting the win. Congratulations to Patricio Pitbull for getting his title win. And Douglas Lima for his sensational win over Michael Venom Page to move on in the welterweight Grand Prix. Yeah, man. We'll have it all covered. Again, next week, March for Cancer, guys. We'll have a little recap of the event, of course, next week, next Sunday. And I hope you guys can make it out. Fort Lauderdale Beach. Next Saturday morning is the March for Cancer. You guys can register at marchforcancer.org. Hope to see you guys out there. Everybody have a great rest of your Mother's Day. And enjoy the basketball later on today. Don't get in too much trouble. Make sure that you take care of Mama and she's doing everything that she needs to be doing. And she's happy. Thankfully, there's not three Game 7 today. That would have been lunacy. And then, of course, the greatest fight that Fighters Fury must preview. And that is, of course, Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. Episode 5. It's going down tonight. Big time. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.